James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Today on Truths That Transform, we issue a battle plan for the year ahead.
Onward, Christian soldiers marching as to war. And we are exactly that, Christian soldiers in the army of Christ. He is the captain of the well-fought fight that goes on before us.
January is when presidents deliver their State of the Union message. But what about the spiritual state of the Union?
This is a difficult time spiritually, and the division is deep. But just after the crucifixion, Jesus rose.
We survey the spiritual and constitutional state of the nation on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. What is the spiritual state of the nation in these early days of 2021? We will dig deeper into that question today, and we also want to hear from you on it. Contact us right away to receive your 2021 Spiritual and Constitutional State of the Nation survey. Fill it out and send it back to us as soon as possible so that we know which issues you think are most vital today. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb now takes a closer look at some of the key issues in the spiritual and constitutional state of the nation for 2021.
It is a relief that the year 2020 is finally over. As one wag put it, 2020 needed a reset because that version had a virus.
The coronavirus has brought about an unprecedented shutdown of our economy, of our life. We've suspended the Bill of Rights that give us freedom to meet, to gather, to go to church, to go to work. You know, work is now defined as essential or non-essential, and you know, it's the government that decides what's essential and what isn't.
Meanwhile, how is America doing spiritually? Responding to the COVID pandemic has certainly brought out many people's true colors, including political leaders. Using the coronavirus as a pretext, many officials have effectively shut down churches.
The most egregious action that I have witnessed in the last 10 years has been the act of governors and mayors and government officials all up and down the line who have determined what's essential in the life of a believer and what is not. Church is not essential. Lowe's is essential. And even more egregious, a liquor store is essential. It's an essential business. But the business of the church is not essential.
One report stated recently, in Oregon, you can riot and do cocaine, but you can't go to church. And yet, America was created for religious freedom, and our nation's founders fought against the idea of the divine right of kings who were squelching religious freedom.
Here we are, fast forward 200 plus years later, and now we have the divine right of governors and mayors who summarily, without constitutional authority, simply because of, quote, trying to protect us, are telling us we can't gather in our churches. And if we don't stand up to this, we're going to lose all of our rights.
So we need, as a congregation, as lay people, we need to stand up and start putting more pressure on our priests, our pastors, and our spiritual leaders to open the churches back up and get people back in there and fill those pews, because it's going to get bad if we don't.
Many Christian leaders note there is largely an unwillingness of pastors to address the whole counsel of God.
I think the biggest issue with pastors is not the 501c3, it's just the lack of courage. It is fearing man more than fearing man more than they fear God. That is a huge challenge. But just think about an issue like human sexuality, for instance. Just a couple of decades ago, every institution of society would have orbited somewhere in God's design for what it means to be a man and a woman, what gender is, what a marriage is.
One ongoing issue that is literally a matter of life and death is abortion.
I think this is one of the great positive things happening in the church, is there's a robust return to appreciating human life. We see what's in the womb now. It's not a blob of tissue. It's a baby, right? It's not a duck. It's not a Buick, right? It's a baby. That's a beautiful thing to see young people embrace the pro-life principle, to understand that abortion is an evil and it's not necessary, that adoption is always the better option.
I'm confident that we will not only make abortion illegal in this country and hopefully without a civil war, we're not just working to make it illegal. We want it unthinkable. And so that's our role in the culture, is to constantly tell people about why abortion is wrong and why it hurts us, why God had said he created life in the womb.
I think the future is bright. When we look at the Supreme Court with three new strongly pro-life justices, we look at the governors around the country ready to pass laws that will save lives. We look at the legislation that is being tested coming up to the Supreme Court, very likely will erode or overturn Roe, I believe, in not that long of a period of time.
Another issue relates to the judiciary. Some good news is the sheer number of constitutional judges that President Donald Trump was able to successfully seat.
Nothing is more important than the revolution that's gone on in the judiciary for the pro-life cause. In fact, it's the precondition for any actual change to come about in pro-life law in this country. Since 1973, we've been stymied because of the problem of the judiciary.
What the Trump administration did on judges is historic. When we saw, as a group that focuses on religious liberty, and we were looking at this election, and you know, we're not partisan, so whoever's president, our job is to figure out, how can we advance religious freedom in the most significant way?
We now have a number of pro-life women joining the House of Representatives, and they should have a strong voice. I'm sure that they will have a strong voice and a very influential voice in protecting the unborn.
Another ongoing issue is the media. We saw this particularly in their coverage of the election, in what they reported, and what stories they chose to not report.
It's very scary, and there needs to be severe punishments for that type of election interference. If you contrast how Twitter quickly shut down the New York Post and their story on Hunter Biden, which was fact-checked and true and totally based on very factual information, versus how they treated the story about President Trump allegedly saying that veterans were losers and scumbags who died for their country stupidly. They didn't shut those stories down. And that was all based off of hearsay.
What about entertainment media? Many Christians have raised concerns about Netflix recently because of a program that promotes child pornography, cuties, and a program that has allegedly spawned a rash of teen suicides.
Netflix is Hollywood's new darling, the 800-pound gorilla in Hollywood right now. Everybody in Hollywood wants to work for Netflix because Netflix is paying huge dollars. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful service on many levels. Parents find Netflix to be more trustworthy than television because they can control, here are the shows that, hey, Junior, you can watch these shows. Mm-hmm. And there's some wonderful family-friendly, child-friendly entertainment. Mm-hmm. Right next to those family-friendly, child-friendly programs are programs that are extremely toxic, vile, pornographic. And in the case of 13 Reasons Why, a show that is targeted at teenagers that romanticizes suicide.
This is a difficult time spiritually, and the division is deep. But just after the crucifixion, Jesus rose. And when the hour is the darkest, God does his greatest work. Hope and believe and make yourself available to be a part of this revival that I'm praying for and I believe is sure to come if we are faithful.
We are unquestionably in the midst of a difficult period in American history, when our nation seems to be unraveling before our eyes in so many ways. But Christians of all people should not only refuse to give up hope, we should be excited and energized for the future. When the darkness is deepest, the light of Christ shines brightest. Dr. D. James Kennedy was an optimist because he understood and believed the Word of God. And he shares great encouragement for the church in the 21st century from an unlikely place, the biblical book of the Song of Solomon.
The Song of Solomon is a marvelous book. It is beauteous, poignant, tender, touching. It is the story of a love affair. On the surface, it is a story of the love affair of a man and a woman, of Solomon and the Shulamite woman. And yet, for those that know the scripture, know that there is a higher meaning than that as well, though there are many great lessons in that aspect of it. But also, it is ultimately the story of the relationship of the heavenly bridegroom and his earthly bride, the church. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? That, I think, is one of the most, if not the most, glorious picture of whom? Of the church. Dear friends, of you and me, to be found anywhere in the scripture. And let's note what it says about us. Who is she? We are the bride of Christ. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning? In the midst of the blackness of the night of hopelessness, despair, and death, it is the church that brings the hope of sun rising. The church that even in the most ancient of days was the morning star to give to those that were lost in that darkness some hope of the coming morning. And even in the Old Testament, when darkness still covered most of the earth, she was indeed that moon, that fair moon that gave, though borrowed, light to a needy and hopeless world, a world that could see nothing beyond that hole in the ground where life had little meaning and no hope. There was the church even back then that was fair as the moon. And that is, of course, an idealized picture of the church. Unfortunately, there are many who would be seen merely as pockmarks on that moon, but nevertheless, that is the picture that he draws of the church. And yet there came a glorious day when the night was to fade away, and in that bright and marvelous morning when Jesus Christ walked out of the tomb and the darkness of death faded away forever, the church became clear as the sun and cast its light into the darkness and into the sadness of the bereaved and the weeping who stood beside the tombs of their lost loved ones, who cast its light even into the midst of the idolatrous temple of the heathen and brought into that darkness the wonderful light of Christ, the true God and Savior, whose light illumined the hovel and the palace, whose light spread first from Jerusalem and then all around the world. That light which brought about the establishment of this nation, that light which has pierced every continent, gone into the deepest jungles, brought light to the darkest and most benighted heathen, the cannibals and headhunters in the depths of New Guinea. That light which has taken away that fear of death, that bondage to sin, that light which has set men free, and that light which continues to spread across the widest oceans and through the densest jungles and over the widest deserts to bring the light of Christ to men everywhere. That is what the church is to be, and terrible as an army with banners, and as that light has covered the whole world, the church is seen again in this final revelation of this text as an army. And we are that. We are the army of Christ. We sing, albeit all too frequently, flippantly, and without much thought, "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war." And we are exactly that, Christian soldiers in the army of Christ. He is the captain of the well-fought fight that goes on before us. And we're called to a great battle with the forces of darkness, with principalities and powers of the air. And how it is with the armies of this world that sometimes when we see the flag, our national emblem, lifted up, even soldiers that are fatigued will get new strength. And so we as the army of Christ are to go forth in that way. And we should indeed strike fear into those who are the enemies of God and the enemies of righteousness and godlessness. And I believe that we have seen the church down through the centuries, back from 1,000 years before Christ, when this Song of Solomon was first penned, down to that glorious resurrection morning after the Passion at Calvary, down through the centuries of church history on till today. And we would look forward to the church of the 21st century. And what will that be like? Well, I am not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet. And as one theologian has said, that the future turns on so many tiny ball bearings that no one can prophesy it accurately who is not divinely inspired to do so. And yet, I believe there are some trends which we trust, if they continue, will indeed result in the 21st century in a church the like of which has not been seen before. I believe that in this coming century, the church is going to do things that people never dreamt that she would do. For one thing, we're going to see the enormous growth of large churches in this country and around the world. Many smaller churches are going to close. And many of these have been those who have not been proclaiming the gospel, who have not been winning people to Jesus Christ. And so they're just withering away. But those churches which have been faithful to the gospel, have been proclaiming the good news and training their people to do so, are going to grow. And it's not going to be uncommon in the 21st century to see churches that have 10, 20, 50, 75,000 members right here in the United States of America. Some other changes that I think that we will see is that the church will naturally assume a far greater influence in this nation and others as well. And this will lead, I believe, to tremendous changes in our culture, which has been written off many as a post-Christian culture. Well, they wrote off Christ too when they buried him in the grave, but he rose again with power. And I believe that the church is coming back again after many, many decades of lethargy and sleep. They are rising from that sleep to be a responsible power. And I believe that we are going to see many of the most unfortunate and godless decisions that have been made in this country in the past few decades that are going to be reversed. And America will be restored again to a godliness, the kind of thing that made us great. And we all remember the words of Alexis de Tocqueville, who said, "America is great because America is good." And if America should ever cease to be good, it will cease to be great. And I believe that these are going to be exciting times. I think that the 21st century will be the most exciting time ever to be a part of the Church of Christ. It will indeed be fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and it will have become an army terrible as an army with banners. And that banner over it is the love of Jesus Christ that we carry forth to a needy world. It will be a church where members see that it is indeed their privilege and their holy and godly responsibility to not merely be spectators in the pews, but to be active participants in the life of the building of the kingdom of God throughout this world. And I trust that this church and you people will be a part of that glorious church.
My friend, we want you to join together with us in that work of building the kingdom of God here in America and throughout the world. One of the ways you can do that is by sharing your heart with us in the 2021 Spiritual and Constitutional State of the Nation survey. When you request the survey, fill it out and send it back to us. You will be helping us to see which issues are most weighing on God's people at this moment and helping us to strategize for 2021. Please contact us right away to request your survey. Fill it out, send it right back to us. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. When you contact us, if you are also able to include a generous donation to help us with the ongoing work of this ministry, we will thank you by sending you the insightful and encouraging book, A Nation Worth Fighting For, 10 Steps to Restore Freedom by veteran Christian journalist Robert Knight. In this highly readable book, Bob diagnoses the problems facing us and offers real solutions from a Christian standpoint, including chapters on preserving religious liberty and freedom of speech and restoring the natural family. This book teaches us how to go on the offense against the darkness, to assault the gates of hell, as it were. At this crucial crossroads in American history, it is essential that Christians stand for biblical truth and make our voices heard. This important book will help you understand what has gone wrong in the Washington swamp and how to do your part in combating it. We'll send you Robert Knight's book, A Nation Worth Fighting For, 10 Steps to Restore Freedom, as our thanks for your generous donation. And whatever you do, make sure to contact us to receive your 2021 Spiritual and Constitutional State of the Nation survey. Fill it out and return it to us right away so that we can know which issues you are most concerned about this year. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. This ministry is not a partisan ministry. While the cultural issues we address are deemed political questions by some, 3,500 years of Judeo-Christian teaching have consistently identified these things as matters of morality, ethics, and sin. We adhere to morals and ethics drawn from God's Word, among which are the sanctity of human life, God's design for marriage and family, and the freedom to worship God and live our lives without government interference. These elements are basic to human flourishing and a functioning society. Any political party that supports such biblical principles will warrant our approval, and any that opposes them will deserve our rejection. There was a time in America when those who believed in these biblical basics could, in good conscience, often vote for candidates of either party. Unfortunately, those days are largely behind us. Witness the story of Congressman Dan Lipinski from Chicago. Lipinski is a left-of-center Democrat who has served 8 terms in the House of Representatives. He has opposed oil drilling, voted for Obamacare, supports gun control, and voted to impeach President Trump. But Lipinski holds a singular distinction as one of the final pro-life members of the Democrat Party in the House of Representatives, believing that life begins at conception and that abortion is a moral evil. Alas, Mr. Lipinski no longer holds that distinction. You see, there is one issue that today's Democrat Party will not compromise on, and that is abortion. Despite Lipinski's 16 years in Congress, his own party opposed him, with pro-abortion groups funneling enormous amounts of money to his challenger in his 2020 Democrat primary election. Lipinski lost his primary and left the Congress at the beginning of this month, replaced by a pro-abortionist hand-selected by the abortion lobby. Lipinski commented that pro-life Democrats are becoming an endangered species. Indeed, his departure leaves exactly one other pro-life Democrat, one among the hundreds of Democrats in the House. And that Democrat has also been fiercely challenged by pro-abortionists. So no, this ministry is not partisan. Our view of the sanctity of human life, made in the very image of God, is based upon historic biblical teaching, teaching that has been one of the cornerstones of Western civilization. However, there is only one political party in America today that has made support for abortion its defining issue, one about which it will brook no dissent. That's the Democrat Party. We don't stand against the Democrat Party. We stand for life. And we cannot support those who treat children made in the image of God as disposable for the sake of convenience. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for being with us. And here's a look at next week's Truths That Transform.
It is indeed a crime that kills not only the baby, but the consciences of all involved.
Nothing is more important than the revolution that's gone on in the judiciary for the pro-life cause.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.